Well, I want to introduce our guest speaker to you. Becky Jones is a prayer missionary. Her ministry is Called to Pray, and prayer and intercession are her focus. She has been part of the Hopewell Network for many years, and in the Hopewell Network, as pastors, we also want to partner with the prophets. We want to hear what is God speaking. They're like our radar. You know, to tell us, you know, what is going on around, what are we not perceiving that may be afar off, but it's something that we need to be aware of. And I have always enjoyed Becky. I remember, Becky, a story going way back before I was a pastor, and I was attending at Elverson. Mm-hmm. Somebody gave me a word, and they said that at that point we were planning on moving to Telford, and somebody told me, they said, you're going to be a pastor. And I didn't know what to do with that word, so I took it to Becky. And Becky said, I believe that's right.
Yeah, right.
But it's not for now, so would you just tuck that away and remember it when the Lord brings that about.
Amen.
So thank you for that, Becky, and would you come and bring the word of the Lord to us this
Amen.
Morning? Children, you may go to children's ministry. Can I just pray for you?
Sure.
Lord, I thank you for Becky. I thank you, Lord, for the deposit of your spirit which is on her and in her. And I pray, Lord, that as she speaks this morning, Lord, that you would speak to us and speak through her. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. I'm pretty excited to be here this morning. I think God is on the move all over the nation. I'm just going to put out this bulletin that there has been a move of God in Asbury College in Kentucky. And so if you want to look and see and get excited, Google that or look on YouTube, because God is doing something. They started a prayer. They just had a Bible study on Wednesday. Their normal
Wednesday morning chapel.
Never finished. They're still doing it now. And now that it's on the internet, people are coming from all over the United States, mostly youth, and now it's spreading to other colleges, they're saying. So praise God. I'm excited about that. This morning, I want to share a scripture the Lord gave me for you specifically. And then at the end of the service, Then at the end of the service, I'm going to bring that back up because I think God has something more to say. And so I'll share it there. But in Matthew 11, 28 to 29, this is what he gave me this morning to share. And then I'll go into what I wanted to share about prayer. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now I'm going to read it in the message also, and then I want you to tuck this away to the end of the service because I have something to go with this. I believe the Holy Spirit is showing me. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work for me or with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me. You'll learn to live freely and lightly. And that's from the message. So, Father, I want to share my heart. And so, Lord, I just ask that all of us would have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. We need you, Holy Spirit, to just guide and lead this time. And I pray that in the name of Jesus. Now, a lot of people might say, well, I'm not a real prayer person. I'm not an intercessor. I don't pray very often. But I want to tell you something. A lot of us think about things all day long, don't we? We think about our kids and in work and all sorts of stuff. And you know, it's always in there. It's like ruminating. It's pondering. And you wouldn't necessarily say that was prayer. But guess what? It is. Now, a lot of times you ruminate on it, but you don't always give it to Jesus or you don't talk to him. But you talk sometimes in your spirit. You're not saying it out loud, but you're saying something in your spirit. So when When you say to yourself, or the enemy says to you, you know, I really, prayer is all right, but I'm just not a prayer person, that's not really true. All of us find ourselves at different times thinking about those, but a lot of times we bring in anxiety and worry with them instead of grace and faith. One of the things I tell people all the time is pray out of faith, not fear. So all of those things that are ruminating in your heart, you're thinking about or you're worrying about, you could turn those so easily to the Lord if you just took it right to the throne. I say this often, go to the throne instead of the phone. Now, how many of you, as soon as you, I'm worried, and they'll call somebody. But what about if we went right to the throne? So that's my first tidbit, okay? I'll give you a lot of them. The title is today is, what does God mean by praying in the Spirit or with the Spirit? And I'm going to use Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. And this is Paul speaking. He says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whatever I speak, words will be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare fearlessly as it should. And then I have another scripture too in Romans 8, 26. And some of you might remember Johnny Stolfus. And this was one of his favorite ones. And so in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And I'm going to give it to you in the Message, okay? Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs. It's kind of that pondering, that ruminating, or arching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. Knows our pregnant condition and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. I want to tell you a story. I call it my Jerusalem story, and it changed how I pray. You know, it's like we want to know, how do we pray? How do we pray in the Spirit? What does that exactly mean, praying in the Spirit? I asked to go to Jerusalem, and I was there with 50 other people from around the world. They were all prayer people, so I would call them intercessors. It was the trip of a lifetime for me. It's like 50 other people that pray like I pray. Woo! You know, and so anyway, we were in Jerusalem that day, and we had ministered in a few churches. We were back in the hotel room, and I had a roommate too at that time. You know, I think she was from New York. Anyway, we were in our room, and I had just gotten into bed, and I had just closed my eyes. And when I closed my eyes, I felt the presence of God so heavy that there's nothing like that. I have never felt something like that before. It was like liquid love. I can't explain it any other way. Just on me, so heavy. And my roommate says to me, Becky, Jesus is in the room. And then I went, shh, because I didn't want to stop it. I didn't want to stop what God was doing. I thought, don't talk. Maybe I want this feeling. I want to feel like this. And, you know, immediately my mind started going, wait a minute. Is it going to tell me something great about my life, where I'm going, what I'm doing? All sorts of things are going through my mind as fast as they can. And then I hear the Lord say to me, Becky, will you pray my prayers? And I said to myself, Lord, that's why are you asking me that? I pray your prayers all the time. You know, that's what I'm here doing. And he said, no, will you pray my prayers? And in my spirit man, do you know what I mean by my spirit man? That inner voice, I heard prayers going into my heart, simple prayers, not like, Lord, save the world, but there was a man on our trip, and I didn't know that he was struggling with the Lord. He just felt like he was so dry. And the Lord, Jesus started putting into my heart, he's saying, Becky, pray back that he will feel me again, that he will be intimate with me. So as the prayers were going into my heart, he said, pray them back to me. So out of my mouth, I started to pray these simple prayers. Someone needed healing. It just was going on and on. It wasn't like what you would think were profound prayers. It could be those prayers you were ruminating on. I fell asleep saying his prayers. They were going in my heart and it was coming out of my mouth. And then I fell asleep. Well, in the morning, I meant both of us. I said, what did God do for you last night? And she had been severely abused as a child. And I believe he was, she said, doing inner healing, speaking to her about how much he cared and loved her. See, God will do that. The Holy Spirit will do that. We can be in the same room and he can be saying something to us totally different. But it changed the way I pray. It did. I realized we need to hear the Holy Spirit. If we hear the Holy Spirit, he puts those prayers in our heart. And guess what? If he put them in there, do not think he wants to answer those? Of course he does. But there's times when prayer seems dry, it seems like we're not going forward. It's just like we've been praying for so long and nothing's happening. Nothing's going on. Well, those are the times that we need to change our tactics. We need to take a step back and go, Lord, I don't know why something isn't being answered. Is there anything that you want me to pray differently? And that's what I believe the Holy Spirit was showing me in Jerusalem, like, I've got some different prayers for you to pray. Listen to me, and I will give you those prayers. Well, you can't listen to him unless you have a relationship with Holy Spirit. You know, when it says, pray in the Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit to show us how to pray, and when to pray, and where to go with that prayer. See, there are many times that we have prayed for things for years and years and years, and it seems like it will never come about. And that's when I would say, you know what, take time. If it's something that's long, you've been doing it anyway for a long period of time, it's been going on for, we've all had children or this or that that's been going on for a long period of time, step back. Instead of an urgency, step back and go, Holy Spirit, I need to hear from you even how to pray. And guess what? He will show us how to pray. For you people that say you're not prayer people, you really are prayer people because you're ruminating on this. You just got to talk to the Lord a little bit more. Instead of fear, you're going to go faith now. So the relationship with the Holy Spirit is so, so important. In John 14:16, and I'll say 17a, it says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. We need the Holy Spirit. If we're praying in our flesh, it's not going to avail anything. But if you're praying in the Spirit, and we'll get into the different ways to pray in the Spirit, but if you're praying by the Holy Spirit, just think about that. It's him telling us how to pray and what to pray. How powerful is that? He's going to answer those because he's putting them in our heart. Oh, and by the way, that man on that trip, yes, he got really filled again. He had the joy of the Lord. He was on fire. It would be kind of hard not to be on fire with 50 other intercessors. I'm just putting it that way. So, and it was a marvelous trip. It was a wonderful trip. But I'm just saying, without that relationship with Holy Spirit, it's very hard to pray his prayers and not get frustrated or discouraged because nothing's happening. Because there is times that it's a long haul. I'm just being very honest. And it looks like, God, are you ever going to answer those prayers? Now, how do I get answered prayer? There's different ways to pray. And each one of these that I share today, they're teachings in themselves. You could go on for a few weeks with them. So I'm giving you an overall But in all of this, I want you to be so encouraged that you are hearing from the Holy Spirit more than you think. You're ruminating on prayers that just you haven't quite given to the Lord, but you will learn how to in maybe a different ways. Like I said, change the tactics. Let's ask the Holy Spirit, back up. And when we back up, what do we do when we back up? So one of the ways is, this is what I tell everybody, when you're praying and you're really into something and it's just you're saying, God, what? When is this going to happen? And so on and so forth. And then this is what you need to do. And you guys, nowadays it's so easy. You just Google or you talk to Siri and go, give me scriptures on, you know, frustration, or give me scriptures on, and up, all these scriptures pop up for us. Isn't that amazing? We don't have to go to Strong's Concordance and look up everything. Do you guys remember Strong's Concordance? It was about this big, carrying that around. No, we have it so at our fingertips that you need to back off and say, Lord, what is your word? Am I praying according to your spirit and your word? What is it? What do you want me to pray? Let's say you're praying for a loved one for a long period of time. But most of all, you're praying because it would be better for you if they were saved. Okay, and then the Lord goes, whoop, let me check your attitude a little bit. Let me check your attitude. Are you praying because you know that they need Jesus without a doubt, whether it changes your life or not, it's going to change theirs. So it's the attitude of the heart. It's the attitude. And so what I will do, I will find scriptures, and I'll look up scriptures about the lost or salvation. And you, when you do that, I mean, tons will pop up. But then you say, Holy Spirit, because you could go through all of those, and I'm not saying it won't be good, but sometimes the Holy Spirit says, this scripture is the one I want you to use. I want you to pray that scripture. And you believe that and declare that over that person. And so there you go. You're focusing more. See, what happens is we scattershot in prayer. Do you know what I mean? It's like they're all over the place. And God says, no, I want you to hit the bullseye. So in changing that tactic, you go, wait a minute. I'm all over the place. I need to center in. And it's all right if you're not praying for a million things at once. It's absolutely all right to focus your prayer wherever the Holy Spirit wants you to focus instead of all over the place. And there's nothing wrong with that. If the Lord says, wait a minute, I'm giving you an assignment and I want you to pray for that. Don't feel guilty if you don't cover the whole world. Every family member, every situation. In fact, that to me is scattershot. Are you getting the right answers? Are you hearing the Holy Spirit? No, focus your prayers on that the Holy Spirit has put in you. And then take the word. All of those scriptures will pop up and go, Lord, Holy Spirit, show me which one is what you want me to pray, what one you want me to declare and stand on. And then as soon as he does that, then it's like you've got to focus. Okay, this is where I'm going with that. You know, we'll get into that. But anyway, that's one of the most powerful ways is to get the word, use the word, and ask the Holy Spirit to focus you on that prayer. Now, all of you sitting here, you probably have loved ones you're praying for. Some of us, our assignments can be bigger and bigger and bigger, and some of our assignments might be, okay, our immediate family. When you first get saved, it seems like it's about us and our immediate family. Then God starts to expand that. And he goes, wait a minute, I want you to pray for the church. The church you're going to. Wait a minute, I want you to pray for the city you're in. Wait a minute, I'm going to ask you to pray for the state you're in. Then all of a sudden you've got nations. So you can't cover everything, because guess what? You're not the Holy Spirit. He's saying, no, you go focus on what I want you to pray about. So different times in our lives, we're going to have different focus. Even, some of you might be what I call list prayers. Do you know what I mean? You have a list and you go down the list and you pray for these specific things every day. And some, that's fine. That's the whole thing. You got to understand God has personalities, and we even pray with our personalities differently. So I always look at myself. I think I'm a SWAT team, you know? I Or I'm a detective and I've got the coat on, the trench coat, and I'm going to figure out what's going on. I love that kind of prayer. I love when it's a crisis and I jump right in and, what are you saying, Holy Spirit? But there's other times where he just said, no, I want you to just focus on this. You know, it's time to pray for your kids. You know, pray for your kids. One of the areas that I do that, and one of the areas that to pray in the Spirit, I use my heavenly prayer language. Now, some of you might not have your heavenly prayer language. We'll pray for you for that. That's fine. But I want to share something about when I got saved. When I asked Jesus into my heart, that same day I was filled with the Holy Spirit and received my prayer language. I was raised Catholic, so I really did not know exactly what was going on, you know? But I realized that not everyone got saved like I got saved. So when I asked the Lord in my heart and I was filled with the Holy Spirit and then I got my prayer language, a lot of people didn't understand me, especially my priest. When I went to him, he really didn't know what to do with me. And he said, well, there's three ladies that pray out there, you know, on Wednesday mornings, you know, and they were older ladies. And I said, okay, you know, maybe they'll understand me. He didn't understand me. He could tell. He was like, oh, this is one of those radical ones. And like was shoving me off. So one of the areas that the Lord immediately put into my heart, he knew I needed my prayer language. But I found when I used my prayer language, I realized I was praying prayers that I probably would not have a focus on without him interceding through me in my prayer language. And I know that you probably taught on this, and so it's not probably foreign to...
I will be soon.
Oh, okay. Good. Anyway, so I use my prayer language a lot. And one of the things in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and that's the whole thing about praying in the Spirit, but I'm not doing a teaching on that because that's just a whole other topic, which you'll probably get into, Joel. But anyway, but there's in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, now this is Paul speaking. He said, so what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Now, this is something that I feel that maybe this is a different interpretation of how that goes, but I understand that, to pray in the Spirit and then pray with your English. But what I have found over the years, and I've been teaching on prayer all over the world, to tell you the truth. And anyway, a lot of times when I pray in my prayer language, I'm just going to be honest, it can be boring. It be really rote. It seems like it's not going anywhere very fast, you know. But I'm praying in my prayer language. And then I'll stop and I'll just kind of sit and listen for a bit. And then I will get some very profound prayers. Something that I had no idea that that person or that situation needed. And I do it sometimes when I sing in the Spirit. I'll sing, and then I'll stop, and then I'll find myself sitting for a while, and then I'll start to sing about God's goodness or his grace. So I'm praying with my spirit, and then I'm praying with my understanding. I'm singing with my spirit, and I'm singing with my understanding. But I don't know what everybody needs. Do you know what everybody needs? But the Holy Spirit knows what we all need. He really, really does. There's another way that to pray in the Spirit is to use the Word of God, and I mentioned it earlier. It's so powerful. There's prayers in the Scriptures. You can look them up. You know, even Google that. Where are all the prayers in the Scriptures? And they'll start coming up. I mean, I love technology that way because we can really get, you know, some beautiful things and think about that and study that, and it comes right up, and it's a tool that we can use. Now, a lot of times the Lord uses the Scriptures for a springboard into deeper prayer, or where he's taking you, or what he wants you to pray about. This happened to me in a while back, and this is when President Obama was in office. let's see if I can find it. Let me, Daniel chapter 2. There's a prayer in there. Yeah. Anyway, one day I was praying and the Lord said, and all, when I got born again, I had this call on my life to pray for politics. I always did, but I always prayed for the presidents. I mean, I just, you know, and I'm not going to go into anything about President Obama, but I'm just going to say God gave me this prayer. It's in Daniel chapter 2. And when he gave it to me, I knew in my heart I was going to the White House. I just knew it. I knew I would get to the Oval Office. I don't know how, but I just, you know, the Holy Spirit does. So Daniel chapter 2, and it's verse starting at verse 20. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and he disposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness. And light dwells in him. Daniel says, I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we have asked of you. You have made known to me the dreams of this king. So I knew in my heart that the Lord was saying, you're going to go to the Oval Office and you're going to pray that prayer because I want to do something with this man. That was my assignment. And I thought, how am I going to do this, Lord? And it wasn't very long later. My son is a lieutenant colonel in the Marine Corps, and one of my sons. And he calls me and he said, Mom, would you like a tour of the Oval Office and the West Wing? And would you like to go to the White House? I said, would I? And he said, well, he said, we can have a private one. Would you like that? I said, would I? And he goes, Mom, do you have an assignment? And I just laughed. And he goes, I have physical assignments. You have spiritual assignments. And I thought, yes. So we set up this date, and it was the woman that was taking us through. She was an admiral in the Coast Guard. And she was Joe Biden's something or other, okay? This is when he was vice president. So She set up the time. I had to go through FBI checks and everything because I was going into the Oval Office. So we get there and you stand out. It's called the Eisenhower Gate. And it's early morning, but it's in August. You've got to stand. It's hot, you know. And Jake had asked one other buddy if he could come too. He wanted to bring his wife and his daughter along, you know. So she said, sure, and her name's Patty. And Patty said, sure, we'll do that. So we're standing at the Eisenhower Gate, and it's getting hot. And it's early morning, though, and there's enough shade and everything. And this little girl kept going, oh, I don't feel very good. I don't feel very good. You know, don't feel very good. And while she's saying that, the gate opens, and all these black SUVs are coming in. And here it was something to do. They were having a cabinet meeting, an emergency cabinet meeting. So we would have to wait because we couldn't go in while they had all of these leaders in there. So anyway, she's standing there. She's saying, I don't feel very good. And she turns around and she starts walking on it. She faints. Well, Secret Service came. And then the ambulance came. And it was just, it just went on and on. And then Patty goes to me, Becky, I don't know if we can get in. If they don't leave this, you know, this cabinet meeting, we won't be able to get into the Oval Office. We'll have to do it another time. And she said, I always get in. This shouldn't happen. So there was someone standing in front of the gate with his friend, and they were going into a different office, but they were waiting to get their clearance, too, because of the cabinet members. All of a sudden, they faint. Another one faints. It was like, okay, this is the enemy. Let's get real, hell. Let's get real. So anyway, Patty said, I'm sorry, but we missed our window. We can't get in. I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed. I thought, God, you gave me something. So a few weeks later, he calls again. My son says, would you like to try again, Mom? And I said, yes, I would. So anyway, went back and we had a tour of the Oval Office and, you know, the West Wing. And what my son did, and the president wasn't in at that time, but I got to go to the Oval Office, and he said, I'm going to stand in front of you. And he said, you pray the prayer that God gave you. And it was this prayer. Now, what did that mean? I don't know how God answered it, but I was being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Not only that, then I got a tour of the White House and all sorts of stuff because I didn't get my tour in the first place. So I was blessed all the way. But what I wanted to say to you is God gives us the word, and it could be in the scriptures. How powerful to pray the scriptures, what God is saying. So you need to ask the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we get weary in praying those long prayers. Has anybody have long, long prayers that they've been praying for years? And it seems like, what I would say, the heavens are brass and God, you can't hear God. It's like, is it even getting through, you know? Am I making a difference? Well, my life scripture is Luke 18:1. If you want to go to there, to Luke 18. You guys will probably know when I start talking about it, but this is my life scripture. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And it's the story about the unjust judge and the widow going back and forth, and, you know, until he gets so tired of seeing her, he gives in to her, you know. Now, that's not talking about God. That's just talking about the world. You're going to be hitting it. And there's going to be things that look unjust. But then Jesus asked a question. He said, will I find faith on the earth? Because, see, there's times when we're just so tired and we want to give up. And I don't know, maybe some of you have heard this. I'm a storyteller when I teach, so I have to tell one more story. And it talks about dreams. I had a dream, and in this dream, there were warehouses, just warehouses of warehouses. And the Lord said to me, what is in those? And I'm looking, and I thought, well, they're canvases, they're pictures. As far as I could see, they were all lined up, these canvases. And he said, I want you to look closer. And I got looking closer, and I thought, they were pictures, but they were unfinished. They were halfway through the picture, you know, but they didn't finish. You know how when you do some stuff and you go, oh, well, I'm not going to finish this. It's not what nothing's happening. Well, anyway, the Lord said, look at it closer. And I said, Lord, these are unfinished. And he said, these are like prayers. He said, every stroke on that painting, every stroke is a prayer that you prayed. But so many people give up before the masterpiece is finished. How many times have we prayed and prayed, and because it doesn't look like what we want or what we thought how God was going to answer the prayer, that we gave up? And he said, tell them not to give up. And in James, it says, perseverance must finish its course so that be mature and complete and not lacking anything. See, those were, as far as I can say, think how many prayers we gave up on. Did the Holy Spirit say give up on them? Or we, because our flesh was tired of praying along that lines, did we give up on? Instead, we need to stop and go, Lord, should I change my tactics? Should I pray in the Spirit more? Should I use the word? What are you saying to me, Holy Spirit? Guide and lead my prayer time. And when you do that, you get refreshed. You do, you get refreshed. Now, one of the things in about perseverance, when I said change your tactics, there's some questions that you should really ask yourself when you feel like you're hitting a brass ceiling when you're praying. Do you guys know what I mean by that, don't you? It's like, it just seems like they're bouncing off. It's like, am I really praying the way you want me to pray? And there's some three questions that I tell people to ask themselves. When you're feeling that, you go, where is the enemy in this? This is a question you should ask. Where is the enemy in all of this? Then you could just say, you know what? where did I get an agreement with that? Or when it's just self, you know, like when I said, when someone's praying for salvation, it's like, it would be better for me. And God says, change your attitude. That would be self, you know, like dealing with yourself. And the other one is, where is God in this? And should I be listening to what God is saying? So there's three questions there. And I think it really, really helps. If you're in a stagnant place, like, you know, where's the enemy? Well, I guess we'd have to fight once in a while in prayer. Like you said, I'm a SWAT team prayer. I love to fight in prayer, like stand strong and, you know, not give in, because it says we war not against flesh and blood. So we do it. We're in a war. And, it also says he doesn't want us ignorant of the enemy's scheme. So we can't be stupid. You know, there is an enemy. And sometimes, even in prayer, we're going to have to fight, you know. And that's a whole other thing. Spiritual warfare is a whole other, that can go on forever, too. So those are topics I'm just going to, what? Next time. So anyway, where's the enemy? Okay. What did I get an agreement with? Or what is going on with self? You know, what is God dealing with in me? And where is God in all of this? Listening to him. What is God saying? You need the Holy Spirit to do that. You need the Holy Spirit to show you the word to stand on. You need the Holy Spirit to help you focus. So you have to use those questions, especially if you're feeling very, very stale in prayer and you feel like nothing's happening. And there's maybe I need to step back. There's nothing wrong. And I tell this all the time. And I've said it before, but step back and go, where, Holy Spirit, give me new manna. Give me new grace in this area. What's going on? So one of the areas that helps me, especially when I'm dealing with the enemy, is Jesus' temptation. So I'm going to go to Luke 4, okay? Now Jesus, this is 1 to 13. I'm going to read 1 to 13. Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Even that to me, you know, it's very hard to like, what? Why would we go into the wilderness where for 40 days he was tempted? You know, why would the Holy Spirit have him do that? Anyway, that's a whole other thing too. But I'm just saying, you know, sometimes you look at these and go, what? Well, that doesn't make sense. Was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Now, this is an area where people, I think, this is something I always want to say, the church needs to grasp this. They really need to understand it. Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. You know, when you're praying and God is showing you something about maybe a person or the situation, and you're praying about it and you're going, okay, I recognize the root of this and I know how you want me to pray. So you start praying about that. He shows you the scripture. And what a lot of people don't do is they recognize the opening or what they have to pray about, but then they don't fill it with the word. Jesus finished the work. The enemy comes at him, speaks this stuff. Jesus knows it's not from God. So what does Jesus himself do? What does he use, you guys? What did he use? The scripture. He used the word. So he came back. How many times? Three times he came back at the enemy. It says, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. The devil led him to a very high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of this world. And he said to them, I'll give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be all yours. And Jesus, again, his warfare was, you guys, the word. Okay, that was his warfare. This is a tool we have. We have the word to combat the enemy. So it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. And then it's, for it's written, he will command his angels to guard you carefully. That's what the enemy's using the word against him. And then Jesus said, and in Jesus' answer, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to a test. Now, this is how he fought the enemy. This is one of our most powerful tools. And people think that they have to just fight, strive. No. Hear the Holy Spirit. Get the wisdom from the Holy Spirit, and he'll tell you what to use as your sword. And he gives you the word. You just take that, and you just, whoop, right into the enemy's gut. I'm just being honest. Or you take off his head. Johnny used to say, we're just going to take his head off. So anyway, then it says, I love verse 13. It says, when the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until a more opportune time. And what, some of them, it says, he could find nothing in him. There wasn't anything that the enemy could hook onto. We need to use the word as our sword. God gave it to us. It's in Ephesians, you know. Use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So when the enemy comes at you with the flood, and he will do that, what God raises up a standard. Use his word against the enemy. That's one of the ways, most powerful way, to fight the enemy. Okay, so when you're going, you know, where's the enemy in this? Take out the word. Go, wait a minute. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And then it goes on about, I think the word spoken about, that's in Isaiah 45. Let me just finish that, because I like the rest of Isaiah 45. No, 54, I'm sorry. It says, no weapon formed against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. What did Jesus do? He used the word to refute it. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Use the word like a sword. I can't emphasize it enough. With the Holy Spirit showing you the word, using the word, you're going to, I don't care if you have to say it 1,000 times in one day. Just keep battering at him. And you know what? He's going to leave you because he can't stand to hear the word anymore for a more opportune time. And he hits us when we're vulnerable. But that's okay. We've got the word. So that is really, really important. The word, the Holy Spirit, the word. So when you're combating the enemy, this is what you've got to do. He's also given us tools. And this is in Corinthians chapter 12. And it talks about a word of knowledge or discernment spirit. And those are whole other teachings too. But he gives us tools to use by his Spirit. Those gifts are so powerful to understand what God is saying and doing. When you hear the Holy Spirit by a word of knowledge, then you'll know how to pray. Or discernment of spirits, you're going to know what is bothering that person, what is binding that person, or a principality, and we could go into all of that spiritual warfare, but we're not doing that. I'm just giving you tools right now. Look them up. Start to study that, but use your word. It's so, so powerful. Let your intercession and prayer come from a place of faith, not fear. So many of us, and we've all done it, we pray out of fear. Fear of the unknown, fear that our kids are going to do something they shouldn't do. There's no, use faith, use the word. Stand on what God says, even if you don't see it. Even if it's so hard. Some of you might have to use the word in your own home against each other, you know, instead of so getting in agreement with the enemy. Use the word. What does God say? Bless and not curse. Those kind of things. Look them up. Use them in your own home. Say them to yourself. And I like to speak it out loud because then I hear myself. And I don't know anybody else. I live by myself, so I can do this all the time. And, you know, who doesn't talk to themselves? But use the word to talk to yourself. It's really important to hear yourself, you know. So anyway, that and he wants us to receive joy in our intercession. If you see somebody that's an intercessor and they're always down, I just don't understand that. I just find such joy in intercession, even when it's hard, even when it's the moans and groans that words cannot express. That's like a birthing. That's a whole other teaching too. But anyway, what I'm saying is there should be joy. We get to commune with the Holy Spirit, the Father, and Jesus. We get to talk to him. It says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly. I mean, so the veil was torn. You know, there should be joy that we get to do this. We get to share our heart, and we get to share our heart and prayer for so many things, wherever God has you focused. It's really, really important. In Isaiah 56, and this is starting verse 7. These I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. He wants us to have joy in our house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifice will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. I love that scripture. Now, I want to go back to the first scripture I gave you. I felt like this was part of the word that the Lord gave me to share with you. Okay. There's something that hinders our joy and the perseverance. And let's go back to Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Okay. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I not only teach about prayer, I teach a lot about deliverance. God has given me grace in that area, and I've been doing it for 40 years. So it's something I've seen walk through and seen the impossible and seen the power of the Lord, his name, and how powerful that is. But this was probably 20 to 30 years ago. It was a long time ago. And I was really striving in prayer. I was praying for everything under the sun. I had to pray for our church and everybody else and all that. It just went on and on. And I mean, I was praying all the time, just nonstop. But I didn't feel any joy. I just felt overwhelmed. Does some of you feel overwhelmed in the area of prayer? So we were in a worship service. We used to have a Saturday night worship service, and it was open to the whole city, and a lot of people would come. It was just wonderful. It was 2 hours of just worship, and people from all different churches came. It was just a time to go before the Lord's presence, and it was wonderful. Anyway, my sister-in-law had come down from Chicago. I lived in Iowa at that time. I was in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And anyway, my sister-in-law had come down from Chicago, and we went to the service. She was a believer. And I took another friend with us. And so I drove into town with her, and we went through the service. And she looked over at me, and she said, Becky, I need to pray with you about something. There's something God's showing me. And I said, okay, you know, and I just kept worshiping. So we're in the car driving home. And she said, I saw you as a pack mule. And on your back was everything. There was a church steeple. There were people. I was just carrying so much. I was a pack mule with so much on my baggage. So much baggage. And she said, the feet were even flattened, you know, on this pack mule. And I have flat feet. So it's like, okay, I can relate to that. So anyway, she said, you are a burden bearer. And God gave me this to share today, and somebody I know sitting in the front seat had said that word to me, and it was such confirmation to the Pastor Joel. I went, yes, Lord, I'm supposed to share this, because I think God wants to break it off of us. He doesn't want us to carry burdens that are his to carry. Remember, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I know it says bear one another's burden, but that's a different type. This is in an area where you think you have to do everything. You have to carry everything. Now, anybody in leadership knows how hard this is. You know, if you're in any kind of leadership, there's just so much coming at you, so much. But God is saying, no, no, no. This has become a stronghold. And we're going to deal with the strong man in our life. So I'm going to pray for you now about burden bearer. I don't know if you want the worship team to just come up and just instrumental for a few minutes. Yeah, I'm going to ask that. But just come forward. And I don't necessarily have to lay hands on everybody, but we're going to pray this together. If you would like to break this thing off of you and take his yoke upon you that is easy and light. Come forward.
So we're going to just open up the altar now for, this is a time of altar ministry where I know there was a couple that had specifically asked for prayer. Feel free to come and receive prayer. And we're just going to go into a time of worship as we close the service. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to allow, Becky, why don't you just move down and begin praying for people?
Yeah, yeah.
And after we've had a time of worship, then I'll wrap up the service. Okay?
I'm going to pray a prayer for all of us, okay. And then I'll turn this off. So
very
I can
good.
Pray
so, Becky, pray a general prayer for all of us, mm-hmm. and then we'll pray for people individually.
Yeah. Father, you told us in your word, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And there's many that are carrying something that you didn't ask them to carry, because it's your job. Lord, we're yoked with you. So now in the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name, we take authority over burden bearer and we command you. We break your yoke off of us now. We are yoked with the Holy Spirit. We are yoked with Jesus, and it's light and it's easy. And so we break that off of people right now in Jesus' name. I thank you that there is no distance in the spirit realm right now. And right now, by the power of that name that is above every name, we speak that into the airwaves. If anybody's watching, we speak it right now. We break this off of them in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, that your burden is light and it's easy because we're yoked with you. We roll back things that you did not ask us to carry back onto your shoulders, Jesus. We give it back to you. We can't carry it. It's impossible. We don't want to be overwhelmed. We want joy in our intercession. We want joy in our daily life. We want joy in our prayers, that we believe God is hearing us. He's put those prayers in our heart and he's moving us forward. So right now, Father, we just ask for that. We believe it, and we thank you and praise you ahead of time for your grace on us in this area. In Jesus' name, amen.